Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. The following is an article from the July-August 2025 edition of National Geographic History Magazine. The title of today's article is The Fall of the Roman Empire, by Jorge Pisa Sanchez. My name is Jim Briscoe, and this is brought to you by Airs LA. Environmental disasters and devastating epidemics triggered the collapse of the Western Roman Empire in the late 5th century. Legend has it that the Roman state's first ruler was Romulus, the twin brother of Remus, both suckled as babies by a she-wolf. But what historians know for sure is that the Western Roman Empire that grew out of this legendary past, one of the longest-lasting empires ever known, collapsed 1,200 years later in 476 AD with the overthrow of its last ruler, who was also named Romulus, Romulus Augustulus. The question of why the Western Roman Empire ended has intrigued historians for generations, fueling a debate that is nowhere near reaching a consensus. In 1984, German historian Alexander Dumont drew up a list of more than 200 factors that have been cited to explain Rome's collapse, which previously had been blamed on internal corruption. In his great work, History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Edward Gibbon wrote, quote, "The decline of Rome was a natural and inevitable effect of immoderate greatness. Prosperity ripened the principle of decay. The causes of destruction multiplied with the extent of conquest. And as soon as time or accident had removed the artificial supports, the stupendous fabric yielded to the pressure of its own weight." Other authors have pointed to more specific reasons. Some have focused on the evolution of the Roman economy, which was stagnant by the 3rd century AD because of overdependence on enslaved people for labor. The increasing size of the Roman Empire's bureaucracy and army likely also contributed to its decline. The cost of maintaining them stifled the imperial economy and brought with it an increase in taxes and serious internal corruption. Ongoing military conflicts and civil wars that broke out from the 3rd century onward played a part too, weakening central authority and leading to the fragmentation of the empire, making it more vulnerable to external threats. In recent years, however, a new theory has emerged highlighting the impact of climatic changes and epidemics. In a work published in 2017, Kyle Harper, a classics professor at the University of Oklahoma, offers an ambitious synthesis on the causes of the empire's decline, in which he argues that, quote, "The fate of Rome was played out by emperors and barbarians, senators and generals, soldiers and slaves. But it was equally decided by bacteria and viruses, volcanoes and solar cycles," end quote. It is a story in which humanity and the environment cannot be separated. Harper and other scholars have drawn on data from climatology and epidemiology, which has opened up new lines of research into the study of the past. Researchers have proposed that the early Roman Empire fell within the period known as the Roman Climate Optimum, which is believed to have lasted from circa 550 BC to AD 150 and was characterized by temperate, stable climatic conditions in much of the Mediterranean. Recent studies paint a more complex picture, but the data suggests that the climatic conditions of the empire in the first century BC favored agricultural, economic, and population growth. First-hand accounts, such as that of the agronomist Columella, indicate that in the 1st century AD, rainfall in central and southern Italy was more frequent in summer than it is today. The sources also reveal that arable lands covered vast areas of North Africa, which have since become desertified. From the mid-3rd century AD, tiny changes in the Earth's tilt reduced levels of solar energy penetrating the atmosphere. This shift impacted the climate, which became more variable with a trend toward cooling and aridity in the Mediterranean. This, in turn, impacted agricultural productivity, a factor in the multiple crises the Roman Empire underwent in the 3rd century. Eyewitness accounts, such as that of Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, provide a picture of what was happening. Quote, "The world has now grown old and does not abide in that strength in which it formerly stood, nor has it that vigor and force which it formerly possessed. In the winter, there is not such an abundance of showers for nourishing the seeds. In the summer, the sun has not so much heat for cherishing the harvest. Nor in the spring season are the grain fields so joyous. Nor are the autumnal seasons so fruitful in their leafy products." End quote. This crisis was compounded by another devastating natural phenomenon, epidemics. To a certain extent, the very success of Roman civilization allowed disease to proliferate in the 3rd century in the way that it did. During the Roman climate optimum, the Roman world experienced remarkable economic and demographic growth and developed a network of densely populated cities. The downside of this connectedness was that contagious diseases found the ideal conditions to spread rapidly. Harper argues that, quote, "The dense urban habitats, the unflinching transformation of landscapes, the strong networks of connectivity within, and especially beyond the empire, all contributed to a unique microbial ecology." End quote. During this period, some diseases, including tuberculosis, leprosy, and malaria, spread on a limited scale, while others grew into major epidemics. Previously, these outbreaks had been contained within the particular regions and seasons, but from the latter half of the 2nd century onward, epidemics emerged that affected whole swaths of the Roman Empire with unprecedented intensity. The Antonine Plague was the first major epidemic to affect the entire Roman Empire, around AD 165 to 180. Originating in the east, this pestilence impacted Roman territory in several waves. These waves coincided with the return of legionaries fighting under the emperor Lucius Verus against the Parthians. There are detailed first-hand accounts of the plague's symptoms and effects from the Greek physician Galen, who was forced to come to Rome from his residence on the Aegean coast to attend to Emperor Marcus Aurelius and the imperial family. The Antonine Plague, believed to be a smallpox epidemic, is estimated to have killed 5 to 10 million people, around 10% of the population. A new outbreak occurred in the middle of the 3rd century with the Cyprian Plague, named after the Bishop of Carthage, St. Cyprian. In his sermon De Mortalitate, on mortality, he includes a detailed account of the symptoms caused by the illness. Possibly originating in Ethiopia, the plague affected territories including Egypt, the Mediterranean Levant, Asia Minor, Greece, and Italy between AD 249 and AD 269. Paulus Orosius, a 5th century Christian historian, framed the event in catastrophic terms, quoting, "A plague now spread over many provinces, and a great pestilence devastated all Italy. Everywhere, country houses, fields, and towns were left without a tiller of the land or an inhabitant, and nothing remained but ruins and forests." The so-called crisis of the 3rd century did not, however, spell the end of the Roman Empire, which was able to step back from the brink and recover throughout the 4th century. This revitalization tends to be associated with the influence of dynamic emperors, such as Constantine I, AD 306 to 337, and Theodosius, AD 379 to 395. However, researchers are increasingly looking to the beneficial climatic changes experienced during the 4th century to explain how the Roman Empire was able to recover during this period. Kyle Harper suggests that the generally favorable change in the climatic conditions experienced in the 4th century was connected to the phenomenon known as the North Atlantic Oscillation, a fluctuation between areas of high and low atmospheric pressure that caused a significant increase in precipitation on the continent. However, the weather also became more variable, explaining the frequency of major droughts and famines recorded in the area of the Mediterranean. One example is the famine suffered by the province of Cappadocia, in the center of present-day Turkey, in AD 368 and 369. Basil the Great, Bishop of Caesarea, starting from 370, dedicated sermons to the topic, warning that human sinfulness had provoked the famine and urging people to care for the poorest. "As a good person, redistribute your surplus to the needy," he told his flock. The greatest impact of climatic changes occurred beyond the borders of the Roman Empire. A prolonged period of drought across the Eurasian steppe, from the Hungarian plains to Mongolia, directly affected the lives of nomadic herders. This was when the Huns began to progress westward across the Eurasian steppe and started to appear in written sources. It has been argued that the Huns, faced with an environmental crisis, became climate refugees in search of new pastures. As they moved west, they forced other nomadic peoples from the north towards the lands of the Roman Empire. It now seems certain that epidemics and droughts were a notable factor in the process that led to the definitive fall of the Western Roman Empire in AD 476. Our understanding of precise climatic conditions from that time remains incomplete, especially across a region as vast as the Roman Empire. It is crucial to avoid deterministic conclusions. History cannot be explained simply by a variation in temperature or rainfall, or by the outbreak of plagues, however deadly they may be. Nevertheless, varying evidence points to the fact that climatic factors did have a real impact. As Harper argues, the outcome of the Roman Empire is an example of the uncanny power of nature and the fate of a civilization. If you want to learn more about AIRS LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on any of the social media links at the top of our webpages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. That brings us to the end of today's article, The Fall of the Roman Empire. I'm Jim Briscoe. Thank you for listening.